40% of sales executives say that their reps need to log into 4 to 5 different applications to perform their job. 40%. And you know what? I don't know what the other 60% are saying, but they got to at least be using that many tools. And the reason why I bring this up is, you know, think about your tech stack, or if you're a sales leader, think about your rep's tech stack. You might have something for sales engagement, like an outreach or a sales loft. You're using Zoom for your calls. You're using Zoom Info for your data. You're using LinkedIn Sales Navigator. You might be using something else for Rev Intelligence. You might be using another platform for enablement content, and your reps are logging in and out of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different tools. And what we're going to talk about today is the future of AI in sales. And I happen to be very bullish on this. I really don't believe that AI is going to replace very many functions of customer-facing activities. So in other words, it's not going to send emails for you, make phone calls for you, run sales motions. I just don't see that happening in our lifetime. What I do see happening, I'll share here in a second. If you're listening to the podcast for the first time, my name is Jason Bay. Most people call me J-Bay. At Outbound Squad, our mission is to help you turn complete strangers into paying customers. So if you're an account executive doing outbound and self-sourcing pipeline and, you know, working deals to close, discovery, multi-threading demos, et cetera, or you're a BDR that wants to become an account executive and you're doing a ton of outbound, you're definitely in the right place. So I think that people are thinking about, this is what we are going to talk about with our guest today, Vlad from Reply. He's VP of growth there. And the reason why I wanted to talk to Vlad is he's got some really great insight around, you know, Reply.io, and, you know, they're one of the premier sales engagement tools. And they, from a technology standpoint, are implementing a lot of things that you might hear right now around like intent data, AI, et cetera. And I think that people, the predictions I've seen around AI, I think are completely wrong. When you look at the value chain, so the highest value activity that you do as a sales professional, let's say, the highest value activity account executive does is the customer-facing calls where you are doing discovery, demoing your platform, negotiating, closing, multi-threading, having those behind-the-scenes conversations with your champion. If you're an SDR and you're doing outbound, the highest value activity you do is the one where you get the prospect live on the phone and you have to think on your feet. All of the talk in AI is around how stuff like that's going to get replaced. And I just don't see in our lifetime those activities for a B2B, mid-market, or enterprise rep getting replaced. You just aren't. I don't see AI. We have a lot of other problems in the world if AI is able to get on the phone with someone and land a meeting better than you can. I don't think that's going to happen. Where these companies are really investing is, I think if you start on the opposite end of the value chain and you look at the lowest value tasks, and value would be determined if you had to pay someone else to do these activities, what would that cost? Well, one of those very low value tasks, and by the way, you know, Sales Loft has got another interesting stat. It's nearly a third, 29% of executives surveyed their internal meetings. They said that their internal meetings and admin tasks like data entry and CRM updates take most of their team's time. So doing the things, and I talk with a lot of reps, like I think updating your forecast, finding emails, finding phone numbers, picking out prospects to do outbound with, building out the stakeholder group in LinkedIn, you know, and mapping, doing stakeholder mapping, all of these things, if you gave good enough directions for, let's say, data mining and list building, you can literally pay someone $6 to $10 in the Philippines or India to do that job very well, probably better than you can if you gave them clear criteria. So as a sales rep, think about an account executive with a 250, 300, 350K plus OTE, and you're doing a task that you could pay someone else $10 an hour to do. Those low value tasks, what I don't think we're going to see is, for whatever reason, a lot of large organizations, and it might be from security standpoint, they don't really want to outsource a lot of those functions. And I could see, right, giving an account list to another firm, having them populate the data. If you had a company that was based out of India or the Philippines, there might be security issues around like, hey, where's this thing going to end up? I totally get that. So I think the next best thing is to replace that function altogether. And that's where I see AI coming in. And it's already starting to do something very similar to this, where imagine you log into your sales engagement tool or your CRM and you just say, hey, I'm looking for VPs of sales in SaaS companies, 100 to 500 employees with at least 50 reps or at least 25 reps and an account executive to SDR ratio of, you know, 3 AEs for every 1 SDR. Like, that's information I can go manually find that a tool should be able to scrape and automate. And that, I believe, is the future of AI. So what we're going to be talking with Vlad about is his job as he started out as an SDR at Reply, how cold outreach is getting harder. We talk about intent data, how that's being used, how to properly do it. And then we just really make a lot of predictions around AI. So hoping you enjoyed this episode. Thanks for tuning in. We'll get to the interview. So I think one of the, just because I've known of Reply for so long, walk us through, because you've had quite the career trajectory, at Reply. Did you start out as an SDR or was it a team lead there? What was your first position there?
Great question. I joined Reply almost like 7 years ago as an SDR, just the first SDR. That's a funny story there. I proactively reached out to the CEO and said, okay, sounds like you don't have SDRs. I want to join and start working with you. And he said, okay, let's do this.
So you SDR'd him?
So I used Reply for that as well. So
of course,
So then, and our founder said, "Okay, let's do this." And then, I just started working as an SDR, trying new things, new tactics, new color-rich ideas. Then we decided, okay, let's scale our team. And then I started hiring more SDRs to replicate my success, just to and train them some tactics I know. And then I decided, okay. And basically our cold outreach here at Reply was all about like intent-based outreach ideas, prospecting, creative prospecting ideas at scale. And then and I realized, okay, so this is more like a growth rather than cold outreach sales development. So I decided, okay, I wanna try growth things. So it's basically my passion, to be honest.
You know, it's interesting because 7 years, that may or may not sound like a long time, depending on who's listening to this, but that's like an eternity when it comes to outbound. Like, you think about 7 years ago, it was a completely different game. I remember Reply when I first checked you guys out. This was like 2017. I mean, it used to just do cold email. Now it does everything, you know, it's got everything under one tool. Let's talk about how many emails are sent from like through Reply on a monthly basis?
Oh, through monthly basis, it's like a millions of them. It's like a few million per day. So it's a
few million per day.
Yeah.
So I imagine you guys have a lot of interesting, which we'll dig into today, insights on like what you're seeing working and what hasn't. If we were to start really high level, how do you feel like cold outreach has changed in the last 2 or 3 years, and then where do you see it kind of heading here in the next year or two? What do you feel like has changed, and what will we continue to see changing?
Okay, great question. Luckily, we at Reply have access to like anonymized data of our customers, and we can see just aggregated data of average reply rate, open rate, and we basically see, I'm not sure if other companies will share that, cold outreach tools, that that every year cold outreach effectiveness is slightly decreasing. Average reply rate and open rate for cold outreach is getting lower. You get like fewer opens, fewer replies, and it's getting harder actually. So probably that's why all LinkedIn influencers, when it comes to cold outreach, they say, okay, it's getting harder. So they are not lying. It's getting harder. It's way harder to do this, to do cold outreach these years. And so it sounds like that when it comes to cold outreach, we need to be more creative. We need to to like try new tactics. We need to implement some. We need to become more creative. Like, I mean, everyone who uses cold outreach software need to try new tactics. Try actually creative tactics. And so there are a bunch of things like AI, of course, intent-based prospecting, triggers, signals, whatever they call it, growth function, all different things to increase these metrics. Because there are so many things under the hood, like deliverability, spam filters, like AI, warm up, you know, it's like, it's super hard.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing there is that it's getting harder to game the system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting, the days of batch and blast emails where we're sending a pretty generic email to a big audience of people that do a lot of different things, that's been dying a pretty quick death here in the last year or two. So let's kind of get into some of the big core areas. AI, what role right now is AI playing in email? How are you guys leveraging AI in your guys' platform? Where do you see all of that going?
Okay, great question. When it comes to AI, of course, there are different use cases there. And when it comes to cold outreach specifically, it sounds like that... As you said, like there is an interesting trend, by the way, that they can send thousands of emails. They still can get opens, like maybe 60% open rate, but they get like maybe 1 or 2% reply rate. So they still can get through their inbox, but there is no reply actually on the other side. So they're not so prospects. They are more educated than ever before, and they get your email, but well, it's not relevant. Maybe it's bad timing, etc. So they don't reply back.
Yeah.
So sounds like AI could help maybe somehow adjust these generic copies to their like vertical industry, to their persona, just some basic things they can use ChatGPT and say, okay, here's an email template for you. Adjust it based on their like persona, vertical, industry, just maybe some custom fields, etc. So that's how they can slightly modify this generic template and get more replies. It's just this hack here. So AI to generate slightly unique, slightly better email copies. So then, of course, things to generate personalized icebreakers, open liners, or whatever they call it. So they can grab some kind of useful piece of information about their prospects, like, I don't know, education, hobbies, company announcements, and just add a personalized line, like an email. I remember when I was SDR, we've been doing this manually, and like it took me probably, I don't know, 1 minute, maybe 2-3 minutes to get one open liner, but now it's just way easier, so it works.
Yeah. So is this capability built into Reply.io now?
We do have these things. You can just ask AI, for example, hey, create a generic cold email template, and then you can just add prospects when you upload the list of contacts. There are, of course, some things like, there are fields like industry, vertical, job title, etc. And then you can feed these custom fields for, I would say, ChatGPT prompt that will generate a unique copy for every prospect in the list. The same with open liners.
What difference do you see in the success rate? Like, how much higher is the reply rate when you use AI versus when you don't, or how much more effective is it?
Yeah, great question. Sorry about that. I haven't tried it myself yet. We just rolled it out like 2 weeks ago, I guess. So it's on my to-do list. But yeah, that's a great question. It's my basically in my to-do list to have these two different sequences and compare results. But when it comes to open liners, it worked for me even without personalization 2 years ago. So I guess it will help for sure. Well, it will work anyway because it helps with algorithm, like spam filters. When you create like slightly unique copies for every prospect in your list, then you have high deliverability rate.
Yeah, because what I wonder with AI is, my perspective on it is I think it's going to not be a game changer. I think it's going to be something that gives you a lift mostly through efficiency. So it's going to help you do the stuff that you should have been doing already, just help you do it much quicker. It's probably not going to get you from a 1% to a 20% reply rate. It might get you from 1% to 3% in 10% of the time, you know, kind of thing. But you mentioned a part of this, I think that's super important is deliverability is a hot topic right now. And it's like just making sure that the email gets through is really big. So there was a recent update you had mentioned because people were freaking out for a little while with Gmail and Yahoo announcing that, hey, we're going to throttle and send to spam. If your organization sends more than 5,000 emails outgoing per day into Gmail accounts, like they'll start getting sent to spam, et cetera. And you told me earlier, you know, at the time of recording this, it's December 6th, that they just kind of revoked a bit of that and said, for corporations, this doesn't count. What do we need to be worried about with email deliverability, you think?
I completely agree that deliverability is indeed getting super important. It was important, like for more than 2 years now. So when it comes to deliverability, of course, maybe it was from the very beginning how Google and Yahoo had all these things in mind, but probably they just clarified for everyone in their announcement, in their FAQs, because to be honest, there were probably hundreds or thousands of messages in private Slack channels about deliverability. So they started pushing Google support team to figure out what's going on, and probably they just clarify things or not.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that. But when it comes to deliverability nowadays, sounds like they don't want us to send lots of cold emails to personal Gmails, personal accounts. Probably this will hurt recruiting cold outreach for this specific use case, right? And of course, I think first of all, it's just to protect Gmail users, because they had another update when it comes to phishing, to spam. They introduced some kind of AI in Gmail. So it sounds like it's a bunch of different activities, Google activities to protect Gmail users. So when it comes to corporate cold outreach, sounds like it remains the same. Probably, I would say 200 max cold emails per inbox per day, maybe 1,000 cold emails per domain per day. No like link tracking, no like avoid different HTML elements, just so it still remains the same, I would say. So it sounds like currently it's more about avoiding reaching out to Gmail accounts.
Yeah. So Gmail accounts, this would be accounts with an @gmail.com.
Exactly.
Email address. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. So people were kind of freaking out a bit, and it doesn't sound like this is going to be an issue unless you're a recruiting agency that relies on reaching out to personal emails.
Yeah. Because to be honest, I'm receiving probably 5 to 10 like spam emails to my personal inbox. Even I haven't been sharing it like publicly.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's probably that's the case here.
Gotcha. So you've mentioned this a couple times around. You know, it seems like I see this trend of everything with cold outreach. Really, the stuff that's working well is when we have good, compelling reasons to reach out to people in leveraging intent and triggers and that sort of thing. How are you seeing teams use intent data right now? How does that get used in reply? And what are the kind of the do's and don'ts with intent data?
Well, it's still like some kind an underestimated topic, I would say. It's still something for gross people. It's not a common topic for now, but sounds like more and more salespeople are talking about intent-based and trigger-based prospecting techniques, and there are a bunch of new tools that are like specifically focused on intent-based or signal-based prospecting, list building. And yeah, so it sounds like this topic is starting popping up here and there. And I've been trying these techniques myself, and they actually work for me personally. For example, here's our typical call outreach. It could be like maybe something between 8 to 10 percent reply rate. When it comes to intent-based prospecting, it could be something between 10 to 15, maybe sometimes even 20% reply rate for the whole sequence. Yeah. So the reason it works for us, it's because there is no need to reach out to every person in the in your total addressable market or whatever you call it in your list. Yeah. You just pick some companies that are identifying that they're looking for a solution in your space. For example, when they are hiring new SDRs, probably they need a tool for cold outreach, or maybe they need some kind of sales training or something like that. So yeah, it sounds like intent-based prospecting will be a future of cold outreach. That's just my opinion here. And sounds like it works just better.
Yeah. So essentially what you're seeing is if you're able to effectively do it, you could have 2-3 times the reply rate to your emails if you reach out to people when there's a timely event. And I think that what's really important about what you said there too is that this is really hard for the individual rep, you know, because the individual rep, they have their territory. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the exercises that you can do is, yeah, if you have 50 accounts, 100, 300 accounts, whatever it is, you know, which one of these are exhibiting signs of behavior, whether through intriguers or intent, that they're more likely to buy. And essentially treating your sales pipeline and thinking of it less as a pipeline and more like a martini glass, you know, where we have these prospects here at the top of the funnel. How can we narrow down the focus and go deeper on fewer deals, fewer accounts that are more willing to engage? And that's essentially, if I had to create like the theme word, I feel like for outbound in 2024 is prioritization. It's outbound gets harder and harder and harder. Like you said, it's a shit ton of effort. Like it's a lot of calls. It's a lot of emails. It's a lot of LinkedIn touches. And that number is going to continue going up every year to get a meeting. So now it's a game of, if I'm going to exert that level of effort, let's make sure that I'm putting it in the right place, that it's pointed in the right direction. Is that sort of your analysis too, when you kind of look at it, that's kind of where outbound is heading? Is it's still a fruitful activity, but it's got to be more laser focused now.
Yeah, that's right assessment, I would say, the right observation here. But probably there are like two different sub trends, I would say here. For example, when it comes to smaller deals for SMBs, mid market, they close maybe like 5 to 10K ACV deals. So they are focused on they still need a huge amount of cold outreach. So when we combine this huge amount of cold outreach, smaller deals, and outbound and intent-based prospecting, we need like a new function, which is currently called something like gross outbound reps or gross outbound ops. So these people can like basically connect different APIs, different tools, build like the system behind intent data and just feed all those data points to sales engagement platform. So I would definitely recommend to check out like a gross leader at Pigment. It's a SaaS company and they have probably they have no SDRs, but they still do like tons of cold emails. So and their cold outreach is built like by their growth team, like outbound growth reps. When it comes to probably mid-size enterprise deals, I would say you're right. It's intent data in this case is called prioritization, I would say. So intent data helps you prioritize your accounts and just reach out to them. And basically, why intent data is good? Because you can use this data as reason for outreach. So you can specify those signals in your cold emails or call like or LinkedIn touches, etc. So you can say, hey, the reason for my outreach is I noticed that you're hiring new SDRs. So you can use this data as a reason for outreach. And definitely that's a great, I would say, phrase to call it prioritization.
Yeah, prioritization. And most of the folks listening to this are going to fit into that mid-market and enterprise, you know, kind of game. So it's really just, you know, especially it accelerates when you're trying to get a hold of an executive in a Fortune 1000 company or Fortune 5000 even. Mm-hmm. These are people that are getting hit up a lot. So to stick out, it just requires more effort to do because so many people are doing it. Let's shift gears a bit. So if we start to think about... let's talk about the future of the SDR role. So one of the things I think that we saw a lot of in tech specifically is 2021 was really hot, right? That was like a really awesome year for a lot of people. People were buying. The world was really great for software companies in 2021. And then they, you know, we started to experience this bubble 2022 and into 2023 where things started to stabilize a bit. People didn't have unlimited budget to spend on tools. They needed to consolidate. VCs and private equity firms were cutting off funding for some people. Like profitability and efficiency became a really big focus. And where I started to get really interested in this was, what does that mean for SDR? So in other words, are account executives going to be required to do more prospecting and do more outbound and self-source more pipeline? That's a big need I've heard in the last 12 months is that's more of a focus because we're not hiring as many people. I saw companies not hiring account executives and SDRs, but not hiring them at equal rates. So in other words, they're hiring in a way where there's less and less and less as a percentage of SDR coverage. And then also in the typical company I work with that has, you know, enterprise sales motion, 200 or more reps, it's like 3-to-1 ratio. It's one SDR covering like 3 or 4 account executives. So like you need to, as an account executive, be great at outbound, you know, but I'm curious from your perspective and what you guys see, what do you see as the future of sales development, the SDR role, the type of support the SDRs give to the AEs? What do you thinking?
Well, that's a great question. It's so hard to predict the future because I remember when they just launched GDPR, I said to our VP of product, oh my God, sounds like cold outreach is dead. But nothing actually happened there. So when it comes to cold outreach, I think that probably I actually have no experience in, you know, that upmarket like sales, like mid-market enterprise. So I have no experience with closing those, I would say, 100K deals. But I think that the trend here is that we will have like full cycle sales again, probably, but they will be like embedded with AI sales agents. That probably is it going to be some kind of AI tools that they? It's going to be like maybe like a command bar in an application, like I don't know, sales engagement tool or a CRM, saying, "Grab me the list of like 100 accounts that are currently like just some kind of intent data." Then you get this list of accounts, and then. And like an account executive or full cycle sales rep can say, okay, now find me contacts that match my ICP, and create a sequence for them or cold email template for them, and then reach out to them. And that's how these full cycle AEs or salespeople will get meetings. So I think the future is AI sales agents, like AI SDRs, AI account executives, or I don't know, whatever they call it. It's just, but yeah, that's the future, I think. But for the next few years, it's definitely intent data prioritization. That's something that will help AEs book those additional meetings.
So you see a future where the AE and SDR role is automated with AI?
Well, maybe I'm over optimistic, but I think, yeah, that in the future,
Really? Yeah,
I think it's going to be automated because data is getting cheaper. Like, remember times when you had to buy tools for like a data tool for $10,000 or $20,000 per year? Now you can buy it just for $1,000. Per year, or maybe $100 per month, for example.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So data is getting cheaper, and now you can feed this data to AI tools, and it's getting way easier to generate somewhat personalized emails based on that data for real sales people. So there is no need probably for like SDRs and AEs, or maybe we will have just, again, full cycle salespeople. This is just my thoughts.
Yeah. Because I think it depends on, for SMB and for stuff that's pretty transactional, I could see the need for an SDR to disappear. Where it's like, exactly. Hey, if the SDR is only sending out mass blast emails and calling the occasional person, like that could be easily replaced.
Thank you.
But in terms of like mid-market enterprise,
it's going to be longer.
It's tough. I mean, I can't see a world right now, and who knows, it could change, where AI cold calls you, Vlad, and has a conversation with you. Like, I wonder what that, there's got to be a lot of regulation. They're probably going to have to announce that it's AI. But I mean, you've called into these companies where you're talking to the thing and the automated, you know, answers trying to direct you. Most of those are really shitty. Like, they're not very good, you know?
I agree.
And like, I wonder conversationally wise, how well AI will be able to do in a live conversation. Like, even think, like, look at the chatbots. All the chatbots are pretty bad right now too. There's a few like kind of good ones, but they're good at triaging the person's need. Once it gets to a certain difficulty level, they say, hey, wait just a second, we'll connect you with the next agent. And they connect you live. So I'm not quite as bullish on this.
Yeah, I agree.
As you are. I just wonder if that's ever even going to happen in our lifetime, where I could talk to AI and have a conversation and like be like, oh shit, oh, that's right, I'm talking to AI right now.
Yeah.
That's going to be scary when that happens.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. So probably when it comes to mid-market enterprise, it will take longer, but I agree. Yeah, I agree with you. But yeah, that's yeah, you're right here.
Yeah.
It'll take longer.
No, definitely. No. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think, yeah, probably when it comes to AI cold calls, probably they will prohibit it or something, because it's some kind of spam, probably. So we still need a real human to reach out via a cold call.
Yeah, I think where AI, I kind of look at it like this, like the general business advice for hiring when you're growing a small business like mine, it's like the first couple of hires is you take the lowest value tasks, which is usually the opposite thinking. If you're someone like me, what you're thinking about is how do I hire a salesperson? Because a salesperson will bring in revenue. How do I hire a marketer? Because they'll bring in revenue. What you don't think about is what tasks do I do as a business owner on a daily basis that you could pay someone $10 an hour to do? In the Philippines or India, like what could you outsource that's not worth your time to do? So instead of starting high on the value chain, you start low. And I think with AI, the mistake that people are making is that they're starting high in the val too high in the value chain. You're trying to replace the things that only humans can do, that only humans are good at, versus starting on the low end. Like I think the biggest opportunity is honestly, and they're already starting to do this. There's a couple tools, I'm forgetting the name, but dude, just finding good data. Like, can I type into a search box and say, Vlad, I'm trying to reach VPs of sales in SaaS companies that are 100 to 500 employees that have a sales team under 50, but more than 10 reps. Build me that list. Like AI is going to get really close. It already does this to a degree. It's not quite that conversational how I did it, but that to me is something that's going to happen in the next 12 months to
For
where
sure.
you have list building that just takes so long and it's so tedious when
Yeah.
you have a web scraper that could easily go through and because to figure out the size of the sales team, it's like that's just going on LinkedIn and doing a couple searches. That should be able to be automated right there.
For sure.
So I don't know. That's the stuff I'm bullish on is like I think the research time, the account selection, whether something is a good fit, whether particular words or phrases are mentioned on their website or LinkedIn profile. I think that's where AI is going to make a huge dent is in the busy work of selling.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and it's probably right tactic for all the skills to build the MVPs. And sound like there are already a few tools that can like find your prospects just based on typing your ICP, and then just you have the list. And I agree that list cleaning, oh well, that's so hard. I remember this time when you have to clean everything like incorporated LTDs. Now it's well, it's way easier with just one ChatGPT prompt to remove all these like inks, LTDs, etc. Yeah, list cleaning for sure, list building, finding similar accounts to your ICPs, finding relevant contacts. Yeah, probably even sequences, templates, cold outreach. Yeah, maybe sometimes even cold calling scripts. I think it's also an option here.
Well, just like little stuff too, like Aurum's, one of the tools they're a sponsor and I recommend their tool a lot is, if it's going to auto dial through, like what would be really nice is, when it dials someone, if it could automatically open up their LinkedIn profile, not just show the links so you have to click on it, if it could automatically pull things up, for you. I think we're getting really close to stuff like that happening though. And the, Gong's already kind of working on this stuff, Salesloft as well, where it kind of suggests the next move for you in the sales cycle. So, hey, your deal is single-threaded. You haven't talked to these typical roles that you would normally talk to. I think where it hasn't quite gotten yet is we suggest that you speak with this specific person and this person. Here's their email address and phone number. Getting really specific and very prescriptive with the advice. Here's an email template that you can use to get started. They're starting to put out some good stuff like that, which is cool because it bridges the gap between like what I teach, sales training, like the tactics of what to do with like knowing when to do them, So I think a lot of that stuff is going to be like, hey, we noticed that these accounts have this intent score. We suggest that you reach out to these people, click a button, and it gets the sequence started for you. You know what I mean? At least so you can start customizing it. But I think we're getting pretty close to that type of stuff.
I think yeah, this is a great suggestion, and I think that like lots of product teams already thinking about how to build this, how to make it like how to make it actionable and useful for salespeople, just to like naturally add to their workflows, because it will disrupt their workflows. It's just how to build this, all those features and make account executives more effective, because probably it's way harder than yep. they think, because we internally at Reply are talking about just like sales co-pilots. They send you suggestions, list of like a feed yeah. of suggestions, like account engaged accounts or engaged prospects. So it's kind of harder than they think. And again, an interesting probably use case for AI here is just sales coaching, probably, I think. Yeah. Playbooks. Yeah, and also interesting topic. When it comes to tools and products, probably sales training is most underestimated category yeah. out there. I haven't seen no, lots totally. Of tools there. Just for some yeah, reason.
Yeah, they're starting to develop some stuff, but I think that another really underestimated part that I think AI, it kind of makes this problem disappear, is there's this hidden cost to using all of these tools that people use now. So if you're not using Reply, let's look at an alternative. You might mm-hmm. be using Outreach. Mm-hmm. So you're using Outreach plus ZoomInfo plus Salesforce. Maybe you're using Gong also. Maybe you're using something like Clary that's got revenue intelligence, maybe, you know, conversational recording, and then you have your enablement content that lives somewhere else. Now reps are like, they're a LinkedIn sales navigator. They're clicking mm-hmm. through six or seven solutions that don't really work that well together. Like, one of the things that I'm seeing that's interesting is, and again, this is where I think automation is going to help a bit, is there's a play that works really well. It's Vlad, you used reply.io at company A. You no longer work there. You work at company B, but they don't use reply.io. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to reach out to Vlad and everyone that is working at a new company that used to use reply.io that doesn't use it now. That sounds really great in theory to be able to do that. That's an effective play. Now, the like executing that, the workflow is actually pretty tricky. If you don't have a sales ops team to set up that workflow for the reps, they got to go to LinkedIn Sales Navigator, maybe manually put these people in. They got to find their contact information. Then they got to pull it into Reply or whatever. And then they got to, like, there's so many steps. And I think that's the hidden cost that AI can help with, is how do we reduce the number of tools that people have to use and the number of clicks they have to make, the decisions they have to make to run these plays. You got me like on a rant now, dude.
Yeah, this is a great round here. And you know, when we reach out to some prospects, just another trend there. I'm not sure how big it is, but when we reach out to prospects like with piece of sales and say, hey, we're using sales engagement tool X, but we are locked with our annual contract, but now I know that a tool B is adding sales engagement tool, so we are switching to tool B because they consolidated a few things like conversation intelligence and sequencing. So now we want to yep. consolidate. It sounds like salespeople naturally, they want to consolidate tools in CRM or yep. maybe sales engagement, so they don't need lots of tools. So I'm not sure how big this trend is, but some sales, like huge sales teams, they just want maybe one or two tools for their sales yeah. reps to be more effective. And when it comes to your argument, to your statement, I would say that, yes, it sounds like those tools, those AI SDRs or AI powered like sales engagement tools, I've tested before, and it sounds like they want to not be just sequencing tools. They just want to combine list building, sequences, reporting, and databases. Like just to be some kind all-in-one tool for like finding prospects and quickly adding them to a sequence. Just like B2B data yep. plus sequences plus reporting, probably. So
yeah,
that's why I'm saying that the future
yeah.
of AI SDRs for mid-market or SMBs is super close to us.
Yeah. No, I love it. One final thought on this. I think the thesis that we sort of both have here is that AI, like the way to help reps become more efficient is not to give them more tools. It's to do mm-hmm. things for them. stuff should be less hands-on. If I want to go run a report to run this sales play and to do this thing, through AI, automate half of those steps. Make it easier for me to execute that play by reducing the complexity of what I need to do. That's where I think the efficiency is. Agreed. Adding another tool to the tech stack or giving more visibility or gathering more data or whatever. It's like, dude, all the calls are already being recorded anyways. All the calls are recorded. All the email communications captured. Most of the phone conversations are recorded. You already have the data. And you got all the CRM stuff. It's like, how do we reduce the number of steps that a rep has to take in order to take action on the data versus just surfacing the data? I think that's what we found in this first wave of like conversational intelligence. Mm-hmm. Was like just surfacing the data is not actually very useful because then people have to put extra work in to take action on it.
I agree. I remember when I was SDR to book meetings, I needed just three tools, just like sequencing, email finder, and LinkedIn. And then just probably some kind of creativity or maybe just following Jason for grabbing some kind of like tactics, insights on prospecting. So yeah, I agree. The less is the better in this case.
No, totally. Well, this is a great conversation, Vlad. Where can people go to connect with you, learn more about Reply.io, all of that kind of stuff before you take off?
They can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active there. LinkedIn is probably the best place. Super happy to connect with salespeople, SDRs. That's probably the best place.
Yeah, go check out Reply.io. And I want to let everyone know, Vlad, he hopped on a call today. And I think it's 10:50 in the evening for you right now. So props to you, dude, for coming on and staying late here. So thanks for checking out the podcast, everyone. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to the show. Make sure to leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'll see you guys later.